live now. We're live now. Welcome to the Dean Blondell Show. My name is Dean.
What's up?
It's Friday, so it's kind of a fun one for us, and I'm really excited to bring some people in that work with us here at DeanBlondell.com. We'll start with Chris Machete. Chris Machete in the bandana. Hey. Hi, Chris. How are you?
I am doing amazingly fine. Thanks for having me on the show, my friend.
No problem. He's from Kids in the Escalator podcast. You might know him from Guitar Lessons at DeanBlondell.com. Mm-hmm. And this week, he's going to do a little a Mario Kart.
Yes, I am. It's going to be some Super Mario, man. We're going back. I can break it. The classic Nintendo, the NES, got a whack of games, dude. We're going to start because I can play Super Mario for a long time, right? That's one of those ones that I'll probably make it to almost the end when we play it. So it'll be fun. It'll be fun.
It's like an original NES, too. It's not even like, which I don't even know how the tech works. Like, how do you even fucking plug that thing into tech now?
We just got the stuff in the mail. And again, you know, you got to ask my producer, my marvelous wife, because I don't have a clue. I pick up the controller and I play. Like, I have no idea. I told my wife she should start her own channel helping people do this kind of thing, right? Because she does it herself.
How massive that would be?
Right?
Like, do you know how many YouTube videos I watch just to be able to do shit that normal people know how to do already? Like how to use a USB cord. Okay. Yep. How to grind your own cement floor in your basement.
Yes.
I learned how to literally lay vinyl and grind a cement floor in an entire basement, taking a dump with my hand and my phone in my hand.
That's modern day, right?
Yeah. That was all it was.
No,
I know it's
much.
a lot of information. Sorry about that. Anyway, the other voice you hear there is the lovely nurse Jessica Ferdiho. She is a cannabis and wellness expert, educator, and RPN as well. We had so much fun with her last time when we were talking that we wanted to have her back because we have some weed connoisseurs. Chris Machete be one of them, and then Chris Bodden from the Big Chris Live Radio Extravaganza up in Barrie, also here at DeanBlondell.com. It was funny, Jess, when before you got on and his Zoom call popped up, I'm like, hey, Chris, how you doing? Just coughing.
Just coughing. I still have a tickle. I could still cough.
It was all this. It was, oh, my God. And I go, you okay? And he's like, I just smoked the fattest blunt of my life or something. It's something.
A bowl. It was a big bowl.
Massive bowl. And I'm like, you're going to be fucking great. So anyway, good that everybody's here. Nice that y'all chose to spend some time with us this morning. But Jess, you're in good company.
Oh, absolutely. And that's how stoners know when it's another stoner is when you're coughing, you're like, that sounds good. You sound happy. As opposed to concerned. Yeah. Nobody's worried about the cocoa. Everybody's like, yeah, you got some good blood there, buddy. You're good.
Yeah. And what a great way to freak people out. What a great way to freak people out nowadays,
right?
When you go out and you're coughing and coughing and your eyes are red and it's, no, I just smoked a joint. Okay,
oh, yeah.
So you're not sick. All right. I do that all the time and people just kind of step back from me and it's like, nah, it's good, man. It's good.
Do you guys want to see who this is? It's a telemarketer? No, I was going to answer a telemarketer call. Forget it. That would have been fun. That would have been a fun thing. It's what I like to do.
You're actually going to need your ducts cleaned one day.
One day.
You know, I had a guy call me the other day. Before we get started, I had a guy call me the other day, and he asked me, they all start the same way. How many rooms in your house? I'm like, a lot. I couldn't tell you, though, because I'm in the basement. And he's like, what do you mean you're in the basement? I said, I've been fucking trapped down here for weeks. And he's like, are you serious?
Gosh.
And I go, yeah. All I hear is, like, footsteps and voices, dude. Can you help me? And he's like, I will try and help you. And I go, thank God. And we went on for probably about 10 minutes and I had him convinced that I had been abducted by a group of really, really small people. And these people were taking advantage of me ruthlessly in this basement, sexually, physically, all kinds of ways. God. And at the end of it, the guy's like,
well, fantasy.
You just hang on. I'll have police right there. And I'm like, great, in a very thick accent. But the address I gave him was a McDonald's just down at the end of the street by my house.
So, that's awesome.
Oh, my gosh.
About an hour later, I looked out the window, and I saw police cars pulling out of the McDonald's parking lot.
No way.
A lot of fun. Yeah. Anyway, good that everybody's here. Reason why I wanted to get everybody together is because we had an educational process last week. We're trying to educate people as to the process of how to consume cannabis properly, what you use for what. And I needed to have some experience on the panel because, believe it or not, even though I'm into the therapy, I can't hold a candle to what either Nurse Jess knows about cannabis, the amount that Chris has probably smoked today, or what Chris Machete does on the regular. And so I thought it would be a really good idea for us to be able to kind of open it up and talk about, you know, the things that we're using in our use to be able to kind of, you know, educate a few people as they listen to it. Because one of the things, and I could be wrong, Jess, it's still a burgeoning industry that not a lot of people know about, right? You know, the kind of the MO or the mindset that people have when it comes to cannabis is, ooh, you know, it's still there. It's not as easily accessible. It's not talked about like it should be talked about. It's not talked about the way that we talk about it because we use it for very legitimate reasons. So that's one of the things that I wanted to break down today. Why is that? Why are we still, even though it's legalized, why is there still not enough information for people out there to look at using this product for medicinal purposes, but from a recreational perspective?
Well, I think, you know, we're still in a process of collecting more evidence-based practice, right? So for people that are just coming around to finding cannabis or feeling cannabis is something outside of what they have pre-stigmatized it as, like a stoner or something, you know, where they were told for decades that it was bad. I think, you know, yes, legalization's happened, but even that is so infantile. Right? Like we're coming out from knowing this for, you know, my mother worked with cannabis. So I was raised in this, you know, my auntie was a grower. Like if you weren't kind of in that culture, you didn't have community that normalized it, then we are still very much in a time of collecting that evidence-based practice to give that proof to people that are trying to cross over. Mm-hmm. And often that comes with more comfort with scientific backing, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, patient profiles and people talking about it. I think now more than ever, you know, I've been in this is my ninth year as a nurse working in cannabis. Now more than ever, people are more confident to step towards it than ever before. Before mm-hmm. they were really quite terrified. And I feel like now there is some normalization and there is more information getting out there. And I think that's why people are warming up to it. But yeah, well, there's still lots of people in the dark. What I think is I'm saying crazy. The same information over and over. It's like people are like, oh my goodness. Like they've never heard it before. So it's funny. What we think is basic knowledge is really just scratching at something that's brand new to somebody's entire universe. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And not only is that the case, and it's like that everywhere, even where it's legalized, I find that there's such a lack of education information for people to be able to experiment or play, because it's incredibly safe to do it with derivatives of the product, right? Derivatives of the plant. And that's one of the things that Chris has done for a long time. I mean, just looking at him, you'd never guess that he medicated this morning. Hey, looking at Chris Machete, you would never guess it's part of his lifestyle. But
no,
you know
me,
what
you wouldn't, because of the strain that I smoke in the morning. Sorry, yeah. Like I was gonna say, I call it you can go to the bank weed. Because anytime I go to the bank when I was stoned, I was just really paranoid for some reason.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I've discovered a strain that I can go into eventually if you guys want. And yeah, but I'm really stoned right now. Like, but comfy, you know what I mean? Like just it's a different one. It's not a paranoid one. There's a lot of CBD in my morning one. Yeah. And I just feel happy. I have some anxiety too. Sorry. Then it really just cuts it.
I think Dean was referencing your Paisley bandana.
Oh, the look. I thought you meant because I was going to mention how I don't look like I'm stone, but yeah. Well, yeah. We discussed how people would come up to me at parties and they'd see me and they'd be like, whoa, man, I'm going to go talk to that guy and smoke a joint and have a beer with him, right? Yeah, and then they'd get up to me and I'd be talking about Spider-Man and the history of Star Wars and they'd just slowly step away. Right? So that was the thing is that, you know, I look like I'm a rad dude, but I'm really just a nerd at heart, right?
But you know what? You've embraced the counterculture, right? You know, and I think that, you know, and Nurse Jess just said that prior to us, you know, getting right into this, but that she grew up in it, right? Like you grew up in the environment that it was incredibly normal to talk about the plant, to talk about what the plant does, different uses for the plant. And you touched on it, Machete, where you said, hey, listen, I've got a morning strain, got an afternoon strain, and I got an evening. I got strains for different things, right? Mm-hmm. These are the things that people don't know.
Right, right. Well, see, I start off in the morning with a Nebula CBD strain.
Nice.
And I grow it all myself in the backyard. Now, the cool thing about the Nebula one,
see, Baden's like, nice, like you knew what you were saying.
Yeah, well, it's a huge.
Oh, I like Nebula.
It was over 20 feet tall, this plant that I had going. My neighbors are just kind of looking at me like, how'd you do that? And I was like, it's just the strain, right? But yeah. I like to grow enough to supply my whole family, my mom, my dog, my wife, my daughter, you know, friends, close friends. So in the morning, I do a little, a two, strainer or one of those things.
Drops.
Droppers full of a CBD oil that I make out of that Nebula CBD that I mentioned, the plant. So I got a ton of it, and I make it with a coconut oil. My wife does in our air fryer in the Ninja. And in the afternoon,
how does the house smell after that?
It smells really good. It's not, the air fryer keeps everything in pretty good. You know what I mean? But yeah, like I teach lessons here, and I've had parents that are like, they pull me aside. They're like, oh, check out my backyard, this tree I have going. And I'll look at it and like, oh my gosh, you smoke or you grow too. And you know, I wouldn't know it until they bring that up. But yeah, they usually do that when they can smell something going on in the house. Right.
Right.
It's usually the cooking it, cause we do it regularly. And that was huge. The funny thing about that plant this season is a seed fell from one that I grew the season before. And I didn't even know it was growing. My wife was just like, hey, Chris, what strain is that plant? And I just, oh my gosh, it just grew on its own from the ground. So man, the stalk on it was massive, huge. So that's my Nebula, and it grows like crazy. I got tons.
20 feet, is that what you just said? Was a 20 foot plant?
I was taking pictures of myself with the plant, and people are like, well, how do you do that? How do you make it look so big? I'm like, I'm just standing underneath it. Like, but you got to see the looks on my neighbors when I catch them. They'll have friends over and they'll be taking pictures of it, and I'll kind of step on my deck going, hey, how's it going there? You know, well, I've never seen one that big before, you know. And I have to remind myself that it's legal sometimes. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah. You also got to trim the hedges around it to make it look bigger too.
Oh, dude, man.
Let me take a picture.
I was trying to make this one look smaller, buddy. It was so huge. Like everything, it was massive.
It's like the opposite of what men do on a regular basis. Yeah. You know, try to make it look smaller. So
this plant was massive, and it came, it just grew all on its own. Nature helped me out beautifully. I used all
that must natural- piss a lot of guys off hearing that story too, Jess, that because I tried to grow like four plants a couple years ago. It was a miserable failure. This guy can't stop. Like he's growing plants that doesn't mean to.
I usually make enough that I can give away.
Did you start with clones or seed?
Seed.
Oh, I started with clones.
Well, I started with a seed, and these are, each year. Okay. And then the seeds, I'll just get a few seeds off the plant, and then I'll redo them. So the Nebula seeds I bought, oh man.
Gorgeous.
Like a long time ago, and it was like $70 a seed, right? This is probably about 5-6 years ago I bought the Nebulas. Yeah. And I've just been lucky enough to find a few seeds here and there off them. Sometimes you overgrow a bit of a plant and you get a little more seeds, right? Mm-hmm. So I've been lucky enough to just redo that plant every year. So it's getting used to the atmosphere here in Kingston that I grow it in as well. And excuse me. And as I mentioned, I use all natural fertilizer this year. There's the season that just passed.
Manure? Did you use manure?
No, I used coffee grains and eggshells. I looked it up, and anything that they suggested I used, and it was the best crop I've ever had. I didn't have any problems. I no miracle grow this year, and it tasted so much better. So that's my morning one is the Nebula CBD. In the afternoon, I have a mango haze that I love to smoke. Again, it's a very uplifting and creative one.
So you don't smoke in the morning, but you use a tink in the morning.
Oh, and no, then
you...
I do. Sorry. I do like 4 or 5 huge bong hits of the Nebula as well with the, And if I need to do more, I'll do more. Yeah. But this is the thing. Like when you said I didn't look stoned, that's the thing about my eyes, right? Like they're not,
they're not red.
Yeah. I don't have that classic, like, hey, how's it going, man? Which is nothing wrong with that. But in the morning when I'm conducting business,
There's something wrong with that when you're giving guitar lessons to a 7-year-old.
It's a little sketchy.
You don't want to feel sketchy when you're because the anxiety. I don't know about you, Jess. I'm pretty free about the whole thing. And I talked to, my kids the other day are like, what's it like? I'm like, it's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. It's for this and for that. And it's different than booze. And you probably should wait till you're, my opinion, 24, let your brain finish kind of forming and stuff like that.
Unless they call me and they want to activate their endocannabinoid system safely and talk pediatric dose, right? Yeah. Unless as far as blazing goes, sorry to cut you off, but anxiety.
Sorry, go ahead.
You don't want to smoke when you're in a pediatric age range, but if they do want to deal with something, anxiety, insomnia, depression, I always say to people, it's not like 12-year-olds aren't stressed out, especially during, the COCO. People are we forget that our kids also have an endocannabinoid system. And that as parents, we actually do need to educate them and provide them with intake methods that are safe for them so they can deal with relief from their anxiety because they're under a ton of pressure. So sorry to cut you off, Dean, but if your kids want to talk to me,
you cut me off and I cut him off. So I'm just,
I have like a lot of questions.
You're cutting off a cutoff guy. Okay. you have a lot of questions.
Well, I love throwaways.
This is like having Canada's foremost clinical cannabinologist in your living room.
I'm just a humble bush lady. Honestly, I'm just a humble medicine woman, just happy to be here, baby.
I like your vibe though. I like the vibe of that, especially like medicine woman. Like I like the spiritual side of things like that. And that's a lot of why I do like to smoke, because I find it for me, it's very spiritual. I like to meditate. It gets me in touch with what I'm doing. I'm very creative with songs, with my comic book, with my art. And I love that. Oh, there's nothing better than finding the right strain and kicking back at 2 o'clock in the morning. As I say, because I stay up really, really late, and I love drawing with the right strain when everybody's sleeping. So my question using the Nebula CBD in the morning. And I got this, again, this strain is from about 6 years ago, right? What would you recommend? What strain would you recommend nowadays? Like for my new garden here, in the new season come up, which I'm so excited about because it's new. It's a new time. What do you recommend? Yeah. What strain would you recommend for me? And also, and I have anxiety, and I have my joints from playing. It's like tennis elbow. I used to wear tensor band-aids. No more.
Right. Okay. Great. So
you probably look super cool walking around in tensor bandages.
I know. Right.
Oh, yeah. So I made a big list of some of the strains that I like and some of the strains that I've been working with over the last little bit. Mm-hmm. As far as your elbow goes, right away, I would say, have you used a topical?
Yes. The cream. Yes. That you put right on.
Okay, great. Because beautiful. Cause that's, you know, I am old school. So back in the day, it was like, is it green? Is it dried? Can we smoke it? I didn't even know there were strains, right?
I know, right?
So it's fancy town now, right? We're getting fancy now. But my whole thing is it's nice because it's real. So I always say, like, because I'm a whole plant healer. So I would say whatever strain you have to make in that topical, use it, right? Because I come from trainers that are like, whatever you have in your garden is what is meant to build your apothecary, just because, you know, you have to work with what you have. Now, if you can make choice, you know, I wrote down some of my favorites. So, you know, headband was a really good one that we love in the Kootenays. Yeah.
I've tried that.
And then,
Charlotte's Web. Is that a quad? Was kind headband of a quad?
What do you mean by quad? Like it's in quads?
Trips, quads, you know, like the best of the best.
I don't know that. I just know that the ones that the people I trust are like, hey, here's some headband. I'm like, sweet. Nice. So I don't know how I would classify that, quads or trips. I just know my medicine literally just shows up from beautiful humans that are like, here you go, you know? And it's like amazing. Often from my patients' gardens, and it's outdoors and it's organic. Yep. So can I just list off a bunch of the ones that I wrote down?
Love to hear
these
it,
are the ones that a lot of my clients, so I love Granddaddy Perp. It's like old, it's my go-to. It's an indica. It'll wrap me up in a big mama blanket and just put me to sleep. Mm-hmm. I put Girl Scout Cookies, Lemon Haze. I mean, that's sativa dominant, but it's a really nice, I love that one. I also really like Strawberry Jerry, which I got from the Slow Can quite a bit. And I was like, oh my gosh, best Strawberry Jerry I've ever seen in my life.
Strawberry Jerry?
Strawberry Jerry, yeah. And Bubba Kush.
Okay, I just had some of that. Gorilla Glue, yes, okay.
Yeah,
yes.
And then, Gorilla Glue is so good. Charlotte's Web, I think, did I mention that one? That one's a little higher in CBD. It's an older one, but I really like that as a sort of a go-to. Right. Sour Diesel, I don't know if you ever liked Sour Diesel, but sometimes
my all-time favorite. There we go. I love the Sour Diesel.
Yeah, baby.
Sour Diesel is a strain that you can kind of take anywhere and do anything with, right?
I like it.
Nice.
Okay. Is it a blend or is it a sativa or an indica? I feel like
it's a sativa.
Yeah,
it's a sativa. Yeah. And then I like Northern Lights, which is 95% indica, 5% sativa. But Northern Lights was like my first introduction to like really understanding the difference between indica and sativa. Because really, honestly, I'm not going to lie, 10 years ago, I was like, what? There's a difference. I just know that like mama smokes it. I'm in a happy place, y'all. I do not care. So, and what else? I wrote down Critical Kush. Taoho OG Kush. You know Taoho OG Kush?
Yes, yeah.
T-A-O OG Kush?
T-A-H-O-E.
Oh, no.
And then Sweet and Sour Widow, which is also kind of nice. I don't know if you've tried that one. That one's kind of yummy. And then the new one I tried is Gas Mask, which was a little absurd, but I thought that was funny.
I like it.
So that's my power list.
I'm into it.
Yeah, baby. Yeah. I mean, it's the time
it?
Now.
Pretend I'm new. What's Gas Mask?
Gas mask is just another opportunity for you if you want to go to Sleepy Town, right? Like if you're dealing with anxiety and insomnia, gas mask is a nice one. And that's how I see it. Like go night nights.
Yeah.
Night night.
There you go. Gas mask, you're done.
So, okay. You know, like, and then like, you know, I always remember Northern Lights because I think of the colors, and that's where I want to go. Like when I medicate and I'm able to shut down and just like bliss out. And I'm like you, Chris, like I wake up at all hours. Like I've got two boys and sometimes when my little guy's sleeping, like my best time is 3 o'clock in the morning from 3 to 4:20. And I'm doing meditation. I'm smoking weed. I'm having a bath. I'm like, beautiful. You know what I mean? I'm doing whatever I need to do. Yeah, and that's why I love it. Cause like good medicine has no time limit. And it has no limits. Oh, and that's why I think people stop themselves. They stop themselves because they're like, oh, it's not a pill and I can't take it in a regimented schedule and it's just not working. And it's like, yeah. But weed is consistently inconsistent for every patient. That's what's consistent about it. That's what's so sexy. That's why you got to dive into it and discover it yourself. And that scares the bejeebers out of a lot of people. I'm like, people like us, we're like, ooh, the unknown, like, I want more of that. But you know, people that live in a little box that maybe haven't gotten rowdy are like, whoa, I'm gonna cut loose. Right. So that's kind of why I like diversification of intake methods. So those are just a few that I wrote down for us today. So I hope that was
Jessica,
helpful.
I was mentioning earlier, my daughter works at the cannabis store just like a block away. So she'll come home and say, oh, this is the one that they say you should try today. And she's always bringing me home like little joints or little samples. So I just had some.
What a daughter.
Yeah. Oh, she's great. Yeah. They just love her there as well. Like, you know what I mean? For her birthday, they gave her a bag full of like edibles and smokables. And but she knows me really well, right? She knows my anxiety and everything. And she knows she's always bringing me home. Like, this is for video games, dad. Or, you know, this is for when you wake up, dad. So the headband one is the one that I've come the closest to personally, like that really worked off my vibe the most is the headband. And she brought me home a headband, something. Oh, I can't remember what it was, but what do they call they broke like the strain to another one. Yeah, it was like it was a hybrid of headband something. Oh, okay. I can't remember what
It'll come to you tonight, 1 o'clock in the morning when you wake up.
Exactly.
That's when it'll come back.
So she's always bringing me home treats. Jessica was great. So you were naming so many in there that my daughter was like, "Oh, Dad, try this one." It gets to the point where there's so many I'm starting to forget. But now that you've named them again, they're really sticking in my head. So I'm gonna try.
And I always tell my clients, you know, get a journal. Yeah, get a journal and write them down, you know, play with them, right? Like I have been at the mercy of just like, I really love when my patients show up and bring me their homegrown as well, as well as I love going to licensed producers and trying different strains. Yeah. But there is something beautiful about like the pride that you take in your garden, like even the way that you were describing, you know, like it's so powerful. And that's what I love to see patients do is get their hands in it. And that's when I think the medicine works the best.
Check this out, Jessica. So here's how I got, I'm sorry, I'm monopolizing everything, but here's how I got into growing. And this was,
tell he's high.
A decade ago. Well, I got energy drinks going on too, buddy. I'm not a coffee guy. I'm an energy drinker.
Attaboy.
But anyway, so I'm teaching lessons. This is like, over a decade ago, right? And I got this old farmhouse. And in the mornings, I would teach older dudes, and they were all in cover bands. And this one guy came in, and he's like, after a month, he's like, "Do you smoke, Chris?" I said, "Of course I do, you know." So he said, "Want to try some of mine?" And he had cotton candy. Oh my gosh! And he gives me a quarter, and I'm like, "Whoa!" I thought he was going to give me a coin, right?
That's a good friend.
Yeah, this guy's like, he was much older, like about 20 years older than me, right? He's a biker guy, plays in a cover band, all Rolling Stones stuff. So all I do is teach him Rolling Stones solos, you know, in the morning, and he we'd smoke a joint. It was great. So one day, he says, "You know, do you want to learn how to grow?" And I was like, "Yes, I do." So long story short, he brought me a clone, taught me how to do it. And before I turned the lights on and everything, he made me promise that I would pass this on to people who were interested and had the same vibe as me. And that's what I've done. So I always grow like a few extras. And when I meet new people who are into it, I'm like, "Here, take this home with you." My neighbor loves me, of course, now, right? You know what I mean? Like, do we got this season? Chris, I'll try this. And I'm next to it. So I'll water them or go trim them up for him. He'll ask me when to cut them down. Yeah. So I taught this really great guy Rolling Stones lessons every morning, once a week. And he taught me onto it and made me promise to pass on whatever I've learned. And I've always done that. Yeah. And it's just, as you say, it's the vibe off of it. I love it. You get the right strain.
Yeah.
And it's funny how we used to be, right? What's that? Like, we wouldn't even ask what it was. You would just smoke
whatever. It's green.
Yeah.
I didn't even ask what it was. I was like, you gonna pass that or is that a microphone? Y'all just pass it to me. Yeah.
I remember it used to be just, "Hey, give me a bag of the good stuff."
Yep.
You know?
Yeah. Absolutely. And everything they had was the good stuff. It was like, "No, this is, it's all good."
Yeah, it's all good stuff. I got a question, Jess, regarding, like, we're talking about all these different types, and of course a lot of us have sampled all of them, whether it's the headband or sour diesel, but like I think it's important to note too, like, not all of them are created equal. Like, you know, my stepfather-in-law grows great Gorilla Glue, but you know, it's not as great as something that I could pick up at a dispensary though. Right. Like what's,
right.
Is it really how it's grown? That's the differential there.
That's a great question.
I believe so. I believe it's condition and experience and, you know, intention. It's also, you know, what nutrients are they using? Are they flushing it? Do they know what's up? Right. And that's what I said, you know, last week when we were talking, like people think growing weed is easy, but it's really not, you know, it takes a lot of time. Like, yeah, you can chuck seeds out the window. It'll grow in the ditch, but it depends on what you're going for. Right. So I do believe that it does take a lot of skill to grow really good weed.
Do you know, it's funny because when I destroyed those four plants, I got them going and it was like a good month and they were looking terrific. And then I overdid it. Yeah. It was like,
what'd you overdo? Like overwatering?
Yeah.
Or do you know?
Yeah. Overwatered.
That's a big thing.
Yeah. And then when I was talking to a friend of mine that does this, he's got a bunch of licenses, so he grows for people. He's got some farmland as well. And I'm like, yeah, I fucked it up. He goes, dude, how did you fuck that up? How is it possible to fuck that up? It's a weed. They grow in the ditch.
But it is possible. It is possible to not grow it, like to not give it the right conditions. I always say, like, she is a divine goddess. She's a female. You can't just chuck her in some soil and shove her in the corner. You got to like give her love, give her attention, look into your information. What nutrients are you using? How are you approaching it? Right. So it really is. She's picky. She's a picky plant. But so then once you get it done right, you know.
The way that Chris was explaining his grow process with eggshells and coffee grinds and all that other business, compost essentially, is that because we talk a lot about organic, right? We talk a lot about, you know, the process of turning your cannabis into whatever delivery system you're going to use, whether it's tinctured, whether it's a cream, whether it's a vape, whether it's distillate, whatever it is. But I find that there are certain distillates, there are certain specifically in the vape community, but it's the same thing with flower, that there are certain strains that turn me into a coffeeholic. And the more research that I've done, the process would to back to Chris's point, Chris with a K, not Chris with a C, bald Chris, back to bald Chris's point. It all is in the process of how you grow what it is that you're growing. Correct. Mm-hmm. Is that right?
Yeah. See me.
Yeah. Yeah. You just,
100%, 100%. Absolutely. And not like, and I wonder too, like when you're coughing, Dean, are you using extracts? Are you using flower to plant? Like, what do you find is your,
I never cough with a blunt. So like, you know,
flower to plant. That's what I'm saying. I'm going to be 100 years old smoking blunts. This new fancy oil, all these fancy clickety click Bluetooth, plug it in. I look forward to something I can trust because sometimes those make me go whoop and then whoop. And then it's just all over the place. And so I'm excited to test product that's organic. That is, you know, concentrate. Cause like, man, when Shatter came out, oh Lord of baby JC, like mama went to like, oh, woo-hoo! Like, and I was like doing paperwork and like vibrating, like, and, but I was like more, you know, like give me more, but it was such a weird, like synthetic fake high. And then versus me, like with my wooden bowl, breaking up some beautiful, like juicy trichome rich, like terpene saturated, gorgeous ganja. And then beautiful raw papers and just a little puff puff and like mommy's in Happy Town. And it's far more sustainable for me than it is in concentrates. And it's just really because, you know, it's all in how you process it. The concentrates to me, I'm looking forward to some consistency in the delivery with them because I haven't personally found that yet. I always go back to flower to plant, always. Mm-hmm. Not that, that I'm not interested in Fancy Town. I just haven't found a good one yet.
No, and that seems to be the inconsistency, specifically when it comes to vaping, solvents, how it's broken down, how people are producing it.
Yeah.
That's been like the search of my lifetime.
Kind of
pen? Yeah. You know, what's the device?
Like
what are you using?
Cheap, right?
Right. So
cheap.
What do you prefer, Jess? What do you prefer to medicate with? Like, if you're what's your delivery system? Let's go around the table and figure this out because I'm all over the place. I'm right back into blunts now. Like, that's it. That's all. Yeah. That's all. And it's one a day. And it's
plants,
at night.
Do they have tobacco in the paper, Dean?
They do. Yeah. Yeah. I'll put
they
tobacco
do. Okay. So you like tobacco. So you must be a cigar man.
No, because I'll tell you exactly why. Do you want to know why?
Yeah.
This is how fucked up I am.
I want to dive in.
Let me explain to you guys my entire theory behind why I choose that delivery system now. Is the most important thing to me is that I still feel like I'm doing something wrong.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you want that. Yeah. You want to be naughty.
Yes.
Yeah. It almost has,
right. It has nothing. It's like, okay, I could just do green today, but you know what?
Right.
I need a little danger in my life, and I want to feel like I'm doing something wrong. I want to feel like a badass. Right. Someone put some tobacco in there. Right. And you know what? It's the one thing I do at night, and I'm not lying. I would tell you the fucking truth because you don't go halfway when you say, hey, I consume this product because it's good for me, and I do it. Here's why. You don't go, oh, but I only do it once a day. I used to do it all the time. It was part of my therapy to get out of drinking. And now that, you know, the waves have kind of subsided, I use it purposefully, right? You know, and I don't shit on anybody that uses it all day. I'm just not wired to be able to do it. Like listening to Chris and Chris talk about before they got on honking a couple of massive bowls. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I can't do that. I can't do that because it doesn't work for me. But where it does work for me and how it works for me is in that one delivery system at night. So Baden, what do you do? What's your preferred method?
Okay. So I have a love-hate relationship with the bong and 2 years in a row now, my New Year's resolution has been to quit the bong. And I keep going back to it. Like, it's like my cigarettes, you know what I mean? Like every time I do it, I feel dirty, you know, like, oh, I got to give this up, you know? Mm-hmm. But there's nothing that has been able, and I'm hoping maybe Jess can like give me a different delivery system, but there's nothing in my opinion. And Chris, if you're a bong guy, I'm pretty sure you're going to agree with me.
I like bongs.
There's nothing like ripping a bowl, like clean, like full pack bowl and ripping it.
Having a hard time keeping it in after. That feeling.
Yeah.
Where it wants to come out. Like you got a cloud in your larynx and you're going.
Yeah.
It's the hit itself, right? Like that's why I throw my vaporizers across the room. I'm like, this is a useless waste of time. This weenie little, that's not what I want. I want to smoke. I want like a bomb. Yeah. I want to hit it. If I'm going to hit it, I want to hit it. I don't want to plug my weenie thing in. I don't want to do that. That doesn't work for me. That's why I always say, like, if the bong works, baby, you hit that bong. I would never tell my patients, don't smoke, don't hit your bong, don't hit your pipe. Like, it's if that makes you happy and that satisfies you, you're not hurting nobody.
Well, I don't know. It's pretty gross. It's pretty gross, though. I mean, like, you know, I was listening to you guys with Todd Hancock on the last episode with Jess. And you know,
all over the bomb.
Yeah, but it's true, though. It is gross. And I am one of those guys.
How is it gross? Is it the bong water?
I just mean I don't judge you, Chris. I just mean I don't judge you, baby.
Oh, thank you.
That's all I'm saying. I would never judge you. It could be, I get what you're saying, the bong water, this and that. Yeah, yeah. It may be gross because you're ready to switch it up. Yeah. And that's like saying missionary's gross. It's not gross. It's just not working anymore. So it just means that we need to switch it up, baby.
Are you speaking of the position or are you speaking of the profession?
In general. I'm saying in general. Yeah. Oh, okay. Like hitting the bong because you know that's your go-to is maybe also like a go-to move. It's not that it doesn't work or get the job done. It just means that it's not satisfying or, you know, sparking your inner ignition, which you deserve. So as a cannabinoid user, as a cannabis user, my goal is to make you what I'd love to do, Chris, is make you a medicine wheel, and we'll go and we'll make all these different intake methods that maybe you haven't tried or that you're looking to try, and we can play with that together. Because I always say we do what we know until we don't know what we didn't know, you know.
Right. True.
I like that.
Yeah. And you know it's the other part of that I heard coming out of you, Chris, that I didn't like, no offense, Chris, okay, is how you're beating yourself up. Like, I had a love-hate relationship with it. Let it go, man. It gets in there. Who gives a shit?
Well,
it doesn't matter how it gets in
there.
It gets in there.
I feel like a dirt pig. Well, yeah, hiding in the garage, railing on spliffs. It's not that it doesn't happen.
I'm sitting in my garage.
Yeah.
But the smell hangs around on me. That's the thing. Whether I smoke a joint or if I hit a bong, if it's smoke, it's going to hang on, right? And, you know, like my wife, she's fine with the fact that I smoke weed all the time. Yeah. She's known from the day we started dating till now.
Yeah.
She knows it's just part of what I do. And she knows that she likes me better when I'm smoking weed than when I'm not smoking weed. That's also
an additional effect. Yeah. So hold it. Let's fucking uncover that, because it can be a killer in relationships, right? There are a lot of people that are like, yeah, you do that way too much.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
So,
so yeah, you don't want to marry a chronic if you're not a chronic.
Exactly. Right. Well, or if you don't know what it does for the chronic, right? So what does it do for you that make, what are you like if you're not greased?
I don't know what, I'm just edgier. I'm just a little more negative about things. I'll take a lot more negative approach to any life thing that happens, you know, whether it's depression or anxiety, whatever you want to label it as.
Yeah.
I'm just generally unhappy. And she recognizes that. She knows that it's important for me to smoke all the time or to be stoned all the time, right? Mm-hmm. But also she can't stand the smell of the smoke, the after effect of the bong.
And you're having a baby in like 5 minutes too.
Exactly. So that's the whole point. I got to give, I can't be holding my newborn baby in my arms and smelling like it comes out of your nostrils. Even hours after I've smoked a bong, the smell still comes out of my nose. And
I got some news for you. I got some news for you. Doesn't affect the baby.
No, I still think it's gross.
You know what though? It's because you're ready for transition, right, Chris? Yeah. Like that. The biggest thing is you're like, okay, Papa Bear's ready. I'm going to have a screaming baby and a warrior queen. That's like, baby, come rub my feet and pamper my ass. Cause I just squeezed a human through my yoni. So mama needs to be in a good place. And if you come up on me smelling like what, you know, I don't want to smell, y'all, you're just going to piss me off. Right. So of course you're agitated because you're, and I always like to say unactivated, instead of saying I'm going to get stoned, just say, you know what, honey, I need to go and ensure that I'm activated. So I'm more present and engaged with you because I love and respect you as my queen. So what you and I will do, Chris, is we're going to
just
make
dripping
a
with manipulation in there too. I love it.
Totally. Yeah.
And then, but I'm saying, I just want to give you lots of options. So you don't feel like you fall out of that activation where you're like, okay, now I'm freaking out. Right. So if you do a little bit of tincture and, you know, I can make you some cannabis infused toothpaste. You can brush your fucking teeth after you hit the bong. Who the fuck? Like, you can use suppositories, you can use creams, you can use, you know, healthy edibles. You can, there's so many, even your beautiful head there, we can rub it full of dope. Like, there's lots of ways to get it in you that you're just not using right now. And that's why, you know, the bong and the smell and everything is starting to make you feel like, okay, I'm ready to transition. So I can help you get there. And I would be honored to do so if you want. Please do.
For sure.
And it's just having the right community, right? That right crew to be like, your buddies should be the ones that are filling your suitcase with additional tools. That'll be like, hey, you haven't tried this, try this. Hey, what about this? What about this? You know? And then
how do you think
Irish.
You got here so in the first place, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, if you tell me I can't have something, if you're like, Jessica, you're not allowed to smoke a bong anymore, I'm going to buy six bongs and I'm going to smoke as much dope out of every bong that I have. Right.
Yeah,
so
like
that's
us.
Why I never, I never tell my patients, don't do that. Cause that's annoying. What am I at church? Like, I just want you to embrace me for what works for me, because up until now, this intake method, and in a lot of cases for myself particularly, has kept me alive.
Mm-hmm. Now it sounds like
it may not be perfect, but it works.
It sounds to me like, Jess, what you're saying to Chris about his wife's disgusted attitude towards the smell is that she needs to chill out.
No, she's pregnant. She needs to be a queen. She can do whatever she wants. Ain't no problem there. I'm not dissing the warrior queen. All I'm saying is,
so what's
I love
wheel?
The smell of weed. Yeah. I love the smell of weed, but some people hate it. Mm. Like,
well,
when
it's
I'm
not,
making
it's not
stuff
the weed,
in my kitchen.
It's not the weed itself. Yeah. It's just the smoke
the
weed.
The combustion.
So here's a question I have for you, because I have, I'm going to bring it out in just a second. Have you tried Crumble? Yeah. Have you tried Shatter? Have you tried hash? Have you tried shisha? These are all things that are, you know,
that's a great smell,
especially in a shisha. Have you had hash in a shisha
hash.
Before? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have. It's,
Mama loves hash.
There are.
Next time we should all medicate with hash. Yeah.
Well, that's what I got. Hang on. I'm down with that. I can get some of that from the store, I think.
Yeah, your daughter works here.
Yeah.
That'd be good.
I just got
next
a text.
Let's medicate. Ooh, what you
she's
got
on delivery
little
today.
Goodie bag.
Yeah, I do. So we're doing obviously doing some work in this space with our friends over at Black Rose. Yeah. And through it, I've had some meetings with some different people and they're like, hey, try this, group called Hashco. Have you heard of Hashco?
No.
Yeah. It's a whole company. It's in the name Hash.
They had me hash.
Yeah.
And this is it. That's it.
Oh,
you see that? You see that?
Huh?
Yeah. And it's a crumble.
Ooh.
So it's, I don't know. Would that be a rosin? Would that be a rosin crumble? Is that what that is? but it's smoke. It, you cannot smell it. Like you smell it now.
Dark.
Yeah. It comes in bricks.
Gum almost.
No, right? This is it is odorless when you use it. You can put it in a shatterizer. You can use a wheedler with it. You can do all kinds of stuff with it. And the potency, I don't know what the potency is with this, but it's something like 10 times what you can get for the same amount of surface area when you're talking about flower, right? Or you're talking about general hash. But this is so concentrated that you use just a little bit of it and it doesn't smell, right? And I think the other thing about bongs that people love is the fact that it's so easy to do, right? I think that's why people love it, is that a pinch in a bowl and you're outside and you broom, you're not committed to a, you know, a cannon that's this big.
Yep.
It doesn't canoe and all the other things. So, so what is it that, and Machete, maybe you can help me out. What is it that you use? Because we've been through everybody's delivery systems. We'll get to Jess in a second. What is it that you, are you still a bong guy? Is that your preferred method?
Well, yeah, again, it depends. Like you say, if I'm in a hurry and I don't feel like prepping something, I love hitting the, I got a great big bong. I love hitting the bong. And but plus I clean my bong every day. I'm just that kind of dude, you know what I mean? And that's kind of my, my morning routine is I'll get up, you know, just clean the bong out, fresh water in there. So my bong's, excuse me, always pretty clean, which I like. I like, if I have the time, my daughter brings home those pre-rolled cones, the great big ones that are like about this big, and I'll just stuff that thing and I'll, you know, stand out in the back deck there. I have a deck out back and the forest there. I'm kind of lucky to have that in my little subdivision. And there's always squirrels and animals and stuff, and it's very entertaining, especially in the summertime if I'm barbecuing. Squirrels are so friggin' entertaining. You got a bag of peanuts and a dube and a barbecue in front, if you're like whatever you're cooking, you throw those peanuts out there, man, you're gonna be entertained. Like, and it's just so it's time and a place for me. But I bounce between a great big joint, no small joints, it's got to be a great big one, and bong hits. As I say, and as Chris was saying, those huge, how big of a bong hit can I do, how bad, like sometimes you get aggressive with it, like, man, I'm gonna do like woo, and it's great. And then you go,
I got
out,
a question for Jess on bong hits.
Can I just insert before you get that? Keep in mind, Chris Machete is one of the world's foremost cartoonists. Like he's cartoon for Marvel and DC.
I think for Marvel, DC, for Valiant. Yep.
He is literally one of the most well-respected. He hosts a podcast here called Kids on the Escalator with our friend Brent. And a lot of the stuff they talk about, he's actually drawn, he's written. He is so productive, even though we're talking about this whole thing, that it works for him, right? He's
That's
been able
a good
to
point.
Piece this whole thing together.
That I find it, well, again, you find the right strain. Like Jessica was saying, and it just energizes it. What was your you didn't say it turned you're activated, and it activates me. And I'm one of those guys that's been smoking so long, and I thought it worked for me at times, but now that I figured out the strains, boom. Yeah. So I find, and Chris was mentioning, if he doesn't smoke, if I don't smoke, man, I get frustrated. Wow. Like I wouldn't, if you put a book in front of me, I would get a paragraph through and just be like, oh Jesus. And plus I have a bit of ADD going through me, and I find that it helps me focus and finish what I'm doing. So it really, finding the right strain. But I'll tell you, I've gone to parties, and this is funny because I brought my Mango and I brought my Platinum Kush, and the drummer of the band at the time, he's a lightweight. We went out and we smoked the Mango. We come into the party. I see him across the room, you know, hey buddy. He's like, oh yeah, it's going. So then later on he goes, let's smoke something heavier. And I was like, oh, I don't know, dude, it might hit the mute button on you. We went out and smoked some Platinum Kush, went back in. I saw him across the room and, oh dude, he's like, you know what I mean? Right. So it's education, right? Education. So if I was smoked
and tolerancy.
Yeah, tolerance.
Because everybody's different, right? Like we might be the type of people that can consume large amounts. There's a lot of people that cannot, right? And that's why I don't advise anybody trying to keep up to me or you or anybody else that knows that this works for them, right? Like I usually tell my friends, like I always bring spliffs when I'm out and about, because I just say, listen, don't hit this, don't try to hit this, don't try to keep up, because mama's gonna put you under. You know, like if you don't normally do this, don't try to keep up to mama's schedule, because it's not going to work for you, baby.
Moderation. Yeah, so you figured it out over time, right? Yeah. Like everybody here has. Chris had a question. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Didn't mean to interrupt you.
Oh, yeah, it's okay. No, we're just talking so much about bongs and bong hits. I got a weird question. Is there a technical name for filling up a full bowl and ripping a full bowl bong hit like in one shot?
Yeah, it's called being fucking awesome.
You're like, all star. You know what? There's no medical terms for ripping a big bong. No.
Okay.
Not that I know of. But I mean, we just refer to smoking as combustion, and we are not advised to ever recommend that to our patients. So we would never be like, hey, come on in. Let's go smoke a joint. Why don't you go rail on some combustion?
Well, you're a nurse. Anything, you can't tell people to smoke anything, right?
No, I can't say go smoke it. But if somebody shares that with me, I am big on destigmatization. Mm-hmm. I'm a nurse that, you know, focuses on destigmatization of intake method in order to optimize my patient's quality of life, because so much of our existence is based around shame and BS around like, oh, you can't do this, you can't do it. You know, and where my thing is like, hey, if that's working for you, then that's great. But where do we want to go? Right? Because often I do find people have been combusting for so long. They're saying, yeah, it works. But it's like, well, you said, Chris, it's like, Papa's ready for a new dance. I want to try something different. What are your recommendations? And that's where I come in. And that's what I specialize in.
That's awesome. Another thing too. So, sir, did that answer your question?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. I just,
let me look it up, because there's got to be a name.
Well, So some friends of mine, I moved to Hamilton and from Kingston. And when I was living in Hamilton, we all got together for a sesh, and they passed me the bong first. Hey, new guy, you hit the bong first. And I ripped the whole bowl all at once. Mm-hmm. And they were like, what the fuck did you just do? They were sharing a bowl. They were passing it around, and he's taking a toke and passing it around. They'd never seen anyone do that before. Hmm. It freaked them out.
The whole thing.
I would call that budget bowl.
I would call that greedy. I would call that awesome.
Yeah.
That's what I would call that. I would say to you that what you were doing is something everybody else would be doing if they just met a group of people whose saliva they didn't trust.
Yeah. Well, that's true. Yeah. Plus, it's a bong that you need to pull it all the way through to finish it, because the people who are smoking the third in, they're just going to get like,
just a little bit at the end.
Stuff at the bottom.
Yeah, your friends are cheap dicks. Horrible. That's all I got out of that. Is that whole group is a bunch of cheap knobs.
They're not doing it right.
They claim they'd never seen it before. It turned into a party trick. They'd pay me like $30 to like rip one in front of everyone. Oh yeah.
I got to move to Hamilton.
Everyone pulled money together to get me to do it.
They didn't know. They didn't know. Amazing. when Chris came to town, he wasn't fucking around.
It was
with
your
the
initiation.
Bong.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Gorgeous.
And they were like, this guy fucking belongs in Hamilton.
Nice, nice. Good welcoming.
That's how you made it into the Hammer.
Yeah.
They started calling it ripping a Kingston, though. They'd be like, let's get some money together so Chris can rip a Kingston. That's what they used to say.
I like that. Well, Jessica, I was going to ask you. So I really like the CBD, the oil, because I find that I can feel it in me. I have it with my coffee, you know, under my tongue, and then activate the hot.
Like, do you put it in the coffee or your tongue?
I put it under my tongue and keep it there as long as I can. And then I wash it down with a nice big sip of coffee. Lovely. And then I move on to my energy drink. Yeah. What is next after CBD? I'm hearing about, like, I follow Rob Van Dam. He's a wrestler, and he's working on something for wrestlers' noggins, because there's so many concussions. So he's working on, and I can't remember what it was. It wasn't CBD. It was
DMT.
I can't remember, dude. It's letters, right? And
is it DMT? Because DMT seems to be the one, Jess, that is like on deck for
that's my question.
Real medicinal help for people when it comes
I mean, that's a whole other conversation. DMT is diving into something else. I mean, cannabinoid therapy, there's so many cannabinoids we're not even discussing even here. We're talking THC and CBD, but there's 400 plus different cannabinoids. So where I would go with that is that the cannabinoid profiles are going to start diversifying. So CBD, CBN, right? Then we're going to start diving into terpene specific, diagnostically specific needs that can be dealt with terpene profiles even. Wow. So for me, just to keep it, like, I'd love to do something on DMT, but that will be its whole other thing. I want to stay focused on cannabinoid therapy
Is that the next one?
That's what the Kingston guys do when they want to like step their game up. They go to DMT.
Right.
DMT, if not used, DMT can be really detrimental. It's such a different existence than CBD and THC and cannabinoids in general. Mm-hmm. So I would stay focused on, instead of just CBD, you want to start diversifying all of the cannabinoids you're getting access to and the ratios you're playing with. So if you're using just a pure CBD and you're like, Jess, I'm hungry for some more, what else is out there? Then we start playing with the ratios. Maybe you need a 2-to-1, right? Or a 4-to-1, or a 16-to-2, or a 16-to-10. You know, like, I've got my little dude here. He's like,
that's cool.
That's all right.
Part of that. That's where I would go with it. Okay.
Hey, buddy.
Hello. This is a tiny little hand.
Yeah, I like it.
Coming out from the side. So that's where I would go further. I would say like the CBD is great. But you need to go further in your cannabinoid profile exposure, especially when it comes to tinctures. So okay. if you're dealing with muscular dystrophy or you have inflammation, you're going to need more than just CBD. And we kind of touched on this last week. Like when you have epilepsy or you have, you know, Parkinson's or something like that, you're going to need a lot more THC than CBD. Okay. But if you have high anxiety or if your inflammation's through the roof, then a pure CBD oil is your best friend. Okay. So I would love to just touch on all the different cannabinoids because right now they're doing more research and development on breaking those out.
Yes.
But that's going to be what we're going to see more in cannabis is like, oh, I need something with CBN in it because that works for my particular diagnosis. Like CBD, THC in the past will be sort of comedic in the same way we're like, oh yeah, it's in a bag and it's green and I smoke it.
That's all we talk about when we talk about the two main ingredients.
Right?
Right. Exactly. That's all we talk. We don't talk about CBN. We don't talk
about it. We're quite limiting. We're quite limited in what we know and what we're exposing to more people. You'll see actually more licensed producers and more growers are providing more of a full spectrum terpene profile and cannabinoid perspective because there are certain cannabinoids that will resonate more with other people than others. And that's why certain strains have it. So I'm excited as a nurse because I'm seeing that more and more come out than it ever has before.
Great, great. I'm looking forward to the next thing because I guess it's just the tip of the iceberg, right? Like, it really is. You're just being allowed to kind of legally examine this stuff now and find out what's in it. So,
yeah.
Future looks bright, I guess, when it comes to us.
Yeah, I mean, back in the day as a nurse, it was like, yes, this evidence-based practice is coming. Right. But we're curing cancer right now. Rick Simpson is curing cancer right now. Like I'm excited for you to get some paperwork, but the cyst is off their neck, right? And the cancer is bye-bye. And we put it in their bum with a syringe and we just injected a mill. I know it's creepy, but when you're about to die, you don't care if there's paperwork behind it.
I'm open.
You know what I mean?
I'm not opposed to it. I've heard the anus is a tremendous super highway for good times.
Yeah. Bring it
That's
on.
That's what I've heard. Yeah.
And it's also, as a nurse, the best delivery method, right? The best absorption rate, quickest absorption rate, and especially with patients that have immunocompromised situations, because they can get the medicine the way they need to get it without having it synthesized through the liver. Yeah, in the back door. One sec. I'll be right back. One sec.
Yeah, do your thing. I happen to think that kid is awesome.
And I do too.
I would love to talk to him on the podcast and find out what he's up to.
We could get him on Kids on the Escalator. Right. But he'd do something fun. It reminded me of that
real kid on the escalator.
Yeah. I reminded me of that scene in Pulp Fiction where Christopher Walken is talking about the coin or the watch up his ass. And then that little hand just reaches up and grabs it and pulls it out. I still think this little hand popping up there and grabbing the tint or whatever she had there.
You really went dark with the kid coming into the middle of a Zoom meeting there.
I know.
Yeah, didn't he?
I'm on a Tarantino kick, right? We did that Moist interview with Jeff.
Right.
A new song from Moist is called Tarantino. And then I just got watching all these Tarantino movies, man. And I'm just, I got a channel and it's just Tarantino movies. So I kind of put it on right now and I just draw and watch Tarantino. It's really cool. So sorry, I was in a Pulp Fiction moment there.
Yeah, no, that's okay. That's all right. We're talking cannabis with Nurse Jessica Ferniho. Also our friend Chris Bodden and Chris Buschetti from the Big Chris Live. And of course, Kids on the Escalator, both podcasts at DeanBlundell.com. And you can also get them anywhere you get your fine podcasts. What is it about what we've been taught? And I've always wanted to ask somebody this because it was all misinformation, right? When it came to this plant. Is anybody here resentful towards the process by which we were introduced to this terrible, terrible plant? Like in school, by our parents, by the government, like I think about weird stuff when it comes to this plant, not what it's done for me and all that other stuff. But then I think, who is the dumb fuck that made this a Schedule I drug?
Yeah.
And for how long? And trying to convince everybody it was a terrible thing. Like, does anybody else get full of resentment knowing what it's done for them?
Well, watch that Reefer Madness movie from way back in the day. Like, just Dean, uneducation on things that I enjoy and people telling me that it's this and it's that when I know they're just saying no to it because they don't like it. Oh, that burns. That grinds my gear. So that's, that really upset me, especially being young and having the parents that wouldn't, I would go to the doctor young. Hey, he's moving around really quick. Well, Mrs. Cochran, he's got ADD. No, he's fine. He's fine. And then I'd smoke a joint and I'd mellow right out at night and play video games. And, you know, sometimes I'd mellow out too much, but at least I wasn't, you know, bouncing off the wall. You're right. Yeah. Right. As a teenager. So it would have been nice to control this as a kid. So, and all the people that told me I shouldn't smoke weed were the people that I would never have a beer with in my adult life. You know what I mean? So yes, very resentful. Boom. That's me there. Yeah.
Because I, you know, when you talk about the pediatric, you know, listening to Machete talk about how he uses it and explaining how he uses it and what it does for him, and then Baden talk about, you know, his wife wants to kill him if he's not smoking, and you know, and then you talk about the pediatric uses. It still feels like such a no-no to talk about. Like, it still feels like a no-no to say, oh yeah, I took my kid to a naturopath or, you know, someone like yourself, and we got him some medicine. So yeah, he's on pot and he hasn't had a headache in 4 months. And he used to have these fucking seizure. Terrible migraines.
Yeah, seizures, huge, right? Yeah.
That's where it pisses me off the most, right? But how do you open that conversation up?
I do so much work on not being resentful to the people that don't understand it. So instead it makes me prouder to be associated with people that fought for a medicine when it was even more criminalized. And I look to those people as leaders. And instead of allowing myself to internalize rage, because I'm a rager, so I got to get it out of me. So I try not to get cranked about things that I can't control, right? Mm-hmm. What I can control is my relationship to the plant and my ability to empower patients to become self-sufficient in their own care. And that's what I've been doing since the beginning. Dean, is just I would keep people in the legal as they could be, and then I would empower them by teaching them how to make all the different intake methods that weren't available, you know, or not sold, or they were at one point, you know, and they were being sold in dispensaries, but they still haven't caught up to what was available at one time, right? Mm-hmm. I try not to get too political about it because I just get too cranked. Instead, I focus. I'm like, okay, how do I keep my patients legal? How do I ensure that they are destigmatized in their communication with me and they can meet with a nurse and other like-minded practitioners that can make them feel normalized in what they've had to discover to create that quality of life that every single one of us deserves, right? Mm-hmm. So that's been my mission, is instead of worrying about what they weren't doing, I focus on what we can be on point to ensure that they are doing moving forward. Because there's still quite a few medicines that I work with as a healer with a number of different shamans in Belize that are also still on schedule run. So this isn't, you know, my first rodeo, baby. This is just the first click of many that we're going to need to continue to articulate ourselves properly to move these drugs off the Schedule One roster in order to support mental health and physiological health here in Canada and the world for that matter.
So because it's been shit on for so long and cast in that light, that dark fucking, oh, it's like cocaine light. How does someone who has a child that they don't feel like chemming up with a whole bunch of pills, they might have ADHD, they might have a situation, because I'm a massive proponent of exhausting possibilities, being interested in trying to figure out exactly what it is that you have to do and finding ways to do it as naturally as humanly possible, right? To the point where it was a mission of mine this last year to make sure I got off every medication I could, which I am, and had a really minimal approach to the kind of pills you put in yourself that you can get at the pharmacy. You know what I mean? And so, you know,
and that works for you.
Hard, it does, but it's hard for a lot of parents, a lot of people to be able to go, listen, we might have to go a different route because the chems aren't fucking good for anybody. It doesn't matter who it is. I'm convinced.
But they might work with some.
Yeah.
That's what's important. You know, they might work for some people. Some people are polypharmacized and that's their reality, but that polypharmacized cocktail keeps them alive. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I always say that cannabis is beautiful because the counter interactions with other polypharmacized clients is so minimal, right? Like you can have I'm not against pharmaceutical drugs. And that's what I think is really important because I like working in conjunction, right? I'm a peacekeeper and so is cannabis. It doesn't necessarily mean that just because you're taking pharmaceuticals and that's what's working for you, that you have to stop and then just start cannabis. It can mean what I like is incorporating cannabis in. And then if you're meant to titrate your pharmaceutical regime down with working with your practitioner and your medical practice, phenomenal. But you may need to stay on those medications because that's what's keeping you alive. But if we incorporate cannabis, it can decrease some of the symptoms, because often when we're taking many medications, what we're really treating is the symptoms from the medication itself, right? And what's so beautiful about cannabis is it can decrease those symptoms and counter interactions so holistically that inevitably you will titrate yourself off with the right team. Right. So I try to make it less like all natural or nothing. Right. Like I'm a registered practical nurse. I work with the College of Nurses of Ontario. Pharmacology is my foundation, baby. Like plant medicine. I don't hate the pharmaceutical companies. Right. I work with them as eloquently as I can in conjunction with really phenomenal practitioners that can articulate and know what's going on with your brain chemistry, with your body chemistry, and do it in a way that's, you know, balanced and not pressurous. So that's kind of why I love, one of the many reasons why I love cannabis so much is that it has such low counter interactions with other pharmaceutical drugs.
Right. That's a great point. Wow.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. And then I'm not so cranked because it's not one or the other. Just because I smell like patchouli doesn't mean I'm going to be all hippy dippy. Doesn't mean that like, I'm not going to want to help people get to doctors that can give them pills that will save their life. It's, you know, you can't be so one way or the other. Cause if I'm in trouble, and I get in a car accident, where am I going to go? I'm going to go to the hospital. Why? Because thank God those people showed up to save my fucking life, right? So that's a big part of actually some of the trauma work I do with patients, because they're so damaged by the, you know, they've been so mistreated. Like I've had clients speak to me and they're like, I have never spoke to anybody from the medical system like you. And I'm like, well, you know, that's why I quit my job. So they didn't, you know, fire me. Right. I work for myself, but I'm still in the medical system, right? Like you don't see me in a hospital. Why? A couple of reasons, right? Like mama can't choke it down, but I can help you interact and articulate yourself through that system. So often clients will hire me as a private nurse so I can exchange interactions between the members of the interdisciplinary team, because they've got post-traumatic stress disorder from being treated like garbage and being damaged from people in the systems that didn't understand them. And then when they get there, they get triggered and they get rage, and they're not even speaking from a place. They're not speaking like themselves. They're speaking like a traumatized, you know, triggered patient that's that's injured. Right. So I really appreciate being able to communicate for my patients that way.
Wow. You just nailed my situation, because I was living in a very small town before Kingston, and I was ignored so much about my stress. I was working way too much, 7 days a week, and I was working all day long and all night, and kind of eating dinner at 12, having a bunch of glasses of wine on an empty stomach. And I was going to the doctor saying, I'm getting stomach aches. And oh, you're fine. You're just having a hard time adulting. No, I was so stressed that
that's quite the medical diagnosis.
it's from being
an adult.
He said they told me from two different doctors in a small town told me, oh, you're having a hard time adulting, Chris. So 2 weeks later, I'm in the hospital because my pancreas.
Okay.
Because everything was
pancreatitis.
Yeah. So and they couldn't figure it out at first, and I was in so much pain that I whispered to my wife, "Go home and make a will."
Oh yeah.
Because they were hitting me with morphine, and I'm like,
"Yeah, of course,
nothing." No. And this is because they wouldn't listen to me. So what you said? So I was traumatized from legal doctors, legal, and they even sent me not to a some kind of therapist, not like a psychiatrist. And she was the same thing. She listened to me, and she said I should write a letter to God. And it's like, did you even ask if I did you even ask if I believe
in God?
Like
feel mocked.
Small town though, right? Small town.
Right.
So, yes, of course. So, and then I came here to Kingston and
write a letter to God.
That was her answer for, I just got out of the hospital for overstress. And that was her answer. Small town again, right? Everybody's Christian. Everybody does this and that. So I come here to Kingston. Yeah.
No excuses, right? When with medicine, you're not supposed to let that interact, right? Like as somebody working with medicine, my religious belief, my personal opinion, it doesn't fucking matter. I don't fucking care. You know what I mean? I'm here to do a job. I'm here to check your symptoms. I'm here to check your vitals. I'm here to shut the fuck up about what I really think. Like, oh, this guy smells like he's a stoner. I don't care. That's not my job. I can't judge you. But a lot of people fucking do. And that's the problem, right?
So you nailed it with me. And then, you nailed. But what you said was just, see, I like hearing stuff like that. And I like telling people that I can still operate and smoke, because it makes myself, like what you just told me, made me feel a lot better about my situation. Because when I did come to Kingston and I met a therapist or doctor, practitioner, who did understand me, she says, you're not leaving this room until we figure out what is going on with you, whether it's post-traumatic stress from when you were a kid, whether something's going on right now. And the thing was, is on top of what happened to me in the small town, my wife was going through cancer and I had a nervous breakdown at one point. But she survived. She's great now. All good. And it was because of the doctors here in Kingston who understood her and understood me. And they took me aside and said, you know what? You are about to have a nervous, I think you had a nervous breakdown, she says. And she says, what relaxes you? And I'm like, getting drunk. At first, I'm kind of being funny about it because that's my reaction is to go to funny. Oh, I get pissed drunk. Yeah. And she just kind of looks at me. She goes, you're not leaving here until we figure this out. And I was like, okay. You know, she just be yourself. And I was like, okay. Well, I told her what was going on. And she said, well, we could put you on this and we could have you doing this still. She was recommending I get off the THC for a while there, right? Just to, so I wouldn't freak out and get and panicked. So and she said, try, but just, she wanted me to try a pill. The pill did not work. I was going to kill somebody.
Okay.
Like I got so violent. And this was after 3 weeks of trying a pill. And she said, okay, let's do a little more of your way. Right. And it worked out really, really well, but she was like you, she understood me and she let me talk and she didn't, you know, self-judge. The worst is being told like you're immature, right? Like you're just immature. That's why you're so, so stressed. Meanwhile, I'm working 7 days a week. You know what I mean? My daughter was in college at that time. I'm paying for part of that and just living in a small town. It was just so stressful for me. Mm. Well, and then, you know, but I was just not being mature enough.
Of course.
Yeah.
That's the bit. That's the part that just,
well, but those,
so
that's
well,
the things
though.
You never
makes
forget. Right?
Normal.
Like, answered my, like that, just without me asking that question, you summed up like my life in a small town and the whole attitude that the small town has towards a person.
Well,
thank you. Nailed it. And we need help. Like we need,
we need people like Jess. Okay. And I think that that's, you know, if we accomplished anything today, it was, you know, open up the universe. Let's talk about what makes people feel normal. Let's talk about consumption. Yes. Let's talk about why. Let's talk about the hows. Let's talk about the whos. Let's try and figure out how it is that we can share really good information that's been able to help millions and millions and millions and millions of people for years in the underground. Now that it's above ground, there's no reason we shouldn't be having these fucking conversations to make everybody feel a little bit more normal. And as a matter of fact, I think if people were more accountable to the truth when it came to us being able to be happy human beings, just the truth, like instead of, oh, it's bad or, oh, you shouldn't, or you should fucking adult just to get you out of his office so he can get his $250 for seeing a patient in one day. The world would be a healthier, happier place because of people like Dr. Jess.
I totally agree.
Thank you.
I wish I was a doctor. I'm just a nurse. I'm just happy to be here. But I have had the pleasure of working with some incredible practitioners. I mean, back in the day, I used to run around with like a tray of sandwiches and they were like, you got 15 minutes, go talk to these doctors and tell them why they should write scripts. And I was like, all right, you know? So back then it was a lot harder to find doctors that would write medical cannabis prescriptions than it is now. So to me, I'm honored to be where we are right now in Canada and see nothing but good things ahead, including, you know, the legalization of psilocybin or the medicalization of psilocybin. And, you know, I'd love to do a podcast on that with, you know, moving forward. But what I love is that cannabis right now is finally being articulated more than ever amongst members of the interdisciplinary team. And there's more, I mean, I want to train as many nurses and doctors and get as much information out there as possible because we're always learning. We're always growing. In fact, I still meet nurses that are like, you can use suppositories, you can use Epsom salts. Like, I feel like I'm a broken record, but they're just hearing it for the first time. So it is really amazing. Like, my hope is that we have clear communication about the endocannabinoid system in schools for kids. Because this is a pathophysiological makeup that we all have. I have it, you have it, the dogs have it, cats have it, horses have it. This has to be talked about. So my goal as a nurse is to keep moving this educational platform so our kids can talk about it, our nurses, our doctors, our personal support workers, our psychiatrists, you know, all these people can normalize diversification of intake method and destigmatize it even more so moving forward. Because I think there's always room to grow, but we have come a long way.
Last question I have would be, how do you get a horse to smoke a bong?
So the horses that I worked with, they love to eat oil. So I would drench my hands in beautiful 16-5 CBD THC oil and they would just lick it off. I also was working with a horse in the Kootenays that had this big cyst on his neck. And we would just apply the topical to his neck. There is also, I get my girlfriend, sometimes she'll get tinctures and she'll put put it in the horse feed themselves. Mm-hmm. And then you can, of course, make suppositories if you're brave enough to get that in there. You know, however it works, but it does make a huge difference on the horse. And the one horse we had, he would just love if you just blew the smoke in his face. So you could like smoke a joint, just blow it in his face. And he was so happy. So he was the coolest. His name was Chavis, and he's still on the East Shore in the Kootenays, and he's wicked, you know, and he has cancer, but you'd never know. And sometimes his cyst is really big, and then sometimes it's gone, like not gone, but it's like really small, you know, like, so it comes and goes, but it's pretty amazing because they also like lots of different methods, you know, but Chavis's go-to is blow smoke in my face, baby, every time. Sometimes he wants oil, and sometimes he's just
Chavis
like,
needs a volcano.
Sometimes he's like, girl, just light that joint. That's all I want. So,
Nurse Jessica Ferniho is our guest. That is Chris Machete. Bottom left, top left, it is Chris Bodden from the Big Chris Live podcast. Of course, Chris Machete from the Kids on the Escalator podcast, all of which here at DeanBlondell.com. And here's the good news. Nurse Jessica is literally, I don't know, days, minutes away from launching her own podcast right here.
Oh, beautiful. Hey, community. Welcome to the family. Beautiful.
So there you go. We're all part of the same family now, everybody.
Nice. I'm so grateful to be here.
How can people get a hold of you if they've got lots of questions? Because I know everybody does after stuff like this.
For me?
Yeah,
so I have a website, nursejessica.info, and I'm on the superhighway. I'm on Facebook and Instagram. But yeah, you can go to my website, nursejessica.info, and shoot me an email, and then I'll get back to you. And my phone number's there too. I'm old school. You need to talk to me. Call me. Call me. I love a chin wag. And the internet, I'm in the bush and I'm moving around all the time for different places. So my internet is not always the best. So that's why I always say, if I haven't got back to you, you know, please know, just pick up the phone and call me or text me, because then I'll get to you for sure. So yeah, just reach out. I've had some really beautiful humans reach out lately since the last podcast as well, that were like, hey, my boyfriend heard you on Dean Blundell and said I should call you. So I actually have an appointment at 4:00 with somebody. So right now.
Right
now.
Incredible, isn't it? It's incredible how it works when someone tells the truth. Guys, thanks for doing this. I really appreciate it. Big Chris, little Chris. With a K?
Yeah, both Chris's. Let me know. Give me a buzz. Let's talk. Yeah. Let me know how I can help. Yeah.
You're an amazing human being, Jessica.
And vice versa. Thank you.
I'm cooler for meeting you today. Thank you very much.
Aw, honestly, I'm so glad to be here. And Chris, we're going to prep you for Papa Bear mode, okay?
Okay.
We'll get you in the kitchen. We'll make your own, like, you know, whatever you need to do. You can get it from wherever you want to buy it, or we can build your apothecary
Don't stop.
There's these nose squirters that you can squirt up your nose, that you can clean out your nose hairs. And there's like lots of, like, you can get like a good, at the health food store, get like a nice mouthwash that's like cinnamon, brush your teeth, floss them. You know what I mean? Wash your face. Like pregnant women
maybe
are
just
hyper
wash
sensitive.
Maybe just wash.
No, but even when you do, you're going to need a regime. You're going to need to floss your teeth, brush them, use some mouthwash. You know what I mean?
Flossing and brushing. I think that's what I've been doing wrong.
Yeah, just floss it up, baby. Because if you want it to get off your breath and your nose, especially because your wife is pregnant, she can smell you from 25 feet away.
It's a nice thing to do for the woman carrying your child, is to freshen up your breath. Yeah. It's kind of the least fucking thing you could do, right? Go have a wash your hands with some nice lavender soap.
Well, and if you blaze and she doesn't,
she's gonna smell it.
She's going to smell it, baby. That's all. Or just get some, like, something yummy. Just, like, eat a really good smoothie or, like, you know, get your nutrients. Like, right away, my question is, are you getting enough phytoplankton into you? I'd love to make sure you're getting spirulina, chlorella, and, like, some wheatgrass and some apples and some ginger, you know, and some lemon and some water. So we'll go there together.
I'm on day one of a 2-day nutritional cleanse right now, so.
Okay, beautiful. Yeah. There you go.
Last time we podcasted, you were finishing a cleanse.
Yeah, I know. I'm just starting.
A week ago, you're doing another one?
Yeah, I have to do 48 hours of cleansing every 2 weeks.
Oh, that's awesome. Great. That's a lot of fun, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So drive yourself crazy with trying to quit smoking a bong. Great time to do it.
I know. Something.
I would say don't quit. I would say don't stop smoking your bong. And I would give yourself that treat, because life is too fucking short, baby.
Enjoy yourself.
If it works for you and it makes you feel good, you keep on that good feeling train, because that's going to make you a better husband and a better papa.
Okay, hang on a second. Hey, honey.
Yes, and then I shouldn't stop smoking the bong. They say I should just keep doing it.
But we also we also told you to wash after you hit the bong. It's just a really simple courtesy.
Dean also says I need to wash.
Just heard the front door. I think she went for a walk.
There you go. Nurse Jessica Fernie Ho, thank you again. And you can go to nursejessica.info for more information. Also, look for her at deanblundell.com very soon. Her own podcast with Nurse Jessica.
Yeah.
Chris with a K, with the C, guys. I really appreciate you. Again, Chris, Big Chris Live, you can get at deanblundell.com. Kids on the Escalator, you can get at deanblundell.com. Also, wherever you get your fine podcasts as well. Guys, great to have you here. Thanks for doing this. Thanks.
Let's get high.
Such a pleasure. All right, boys.
Awesome.
Have a great day. Take care. Right. Ciao.
Have a great day, guys. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks to everybody for paying attention and having fun with us today. We really appreciate it. And take Jess up on that offer, too. If you got information that you need, go to nursejessica.info. She's brilliant. Thanks to our friends over at Blue Microphones, the official microphone of deanblundell.com. At Blue Microphones on Twitter is where you got to go to check them out. They're unbelievable stuff. Like, unbelievable. If you're doing anything like this, at Blue Microphones on Twitter or Blue Microphones, just Google them and check out a list of all the different stuff that they have. The old school mic, the Yeti, they got the Yeti X, which is this one, built-in compressor, so you don't have to dick around with having a preamp, none of that stuff. Plus the headphones, plus the mic arm, plus they got a whole bunch of other lines. If you're making music at home, they got spot mics, little this, big that. But check them out. The official microphone of deanblundell.com at Blue Microphones on Twitter.
Oopsie doopsie, I spilled.
Ed at Ed's Fine Imports, his Gitch, the best, his own branded underwear. He's got the luxury Gitch boxer briefs, pouch in the front, super breathable, super lightweight, great waistband. They won't let you down anywhere. I've had like 10 pairs that I've been kind of cycling through over the past year. They haven't worn. They're not thinner, no holes, no streaks either, right? Especially if you get the black ones, guaranteed no streaks. But he's got a bunch of different colors in there, too. So go to edsfineimports.com right now. Use promo code GITCH3. You can find yourself on the receiving end of a fourth pair for free when you use promo code GITCH3, and he'll send them to you as well. Delivery. It's the way of the world. Contactless Gitch. He'll send them to you. He's got the small. He's got the medium. He's got the large. I think he's even got the extra large. Moved out of the extra large a couple years ago. It's the best. Anyway, edsfineimports.com. And domination. If you want to dominate with your content, super easy to do it. Go to dmntn.com. That's domination.com today. It's what we use. We use it all the time. And we use it to be able to produce content. If you don't know what I'm talking about, again, go to dmntn.com and check them out today. If you dominate with content, generating massive amounts of content from a single source, and it happens in minutes, all you have to do is go to dmntn.com or go to deanblundell.com and check them out. That's it for us. Have a great day, everybody. Thanks for watching or listening. Thanks for being part of what we're doing.